1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 4. And if you're not familiar with where that is, just start at the very back. And when you're in Revelation, just flip a couple books to your left and you will find yourself in 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4. Before I read it to you, I want to take a moment to say that all glory, all honor, and all praise belongs to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. When you leave this place this morning, don't leave here talking about who did a great job or who did what. Just leave glorifying and lifting up the name that is above all names, the name of Christ Jesus, our King. Because all of us on this stage are flawed and messed up, but it is in the midst of our weakness that His strength is made perfect. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, I'm preaching an old throwback message that is relevant in power, and it fits exactly with where we are as a church today, called the water and the blood. 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by the water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and life in his Son. Verse 12, he hath the Son, he that hath the Son has life, and he that has the Son, he that does not have the Son, does not have life. That's all I want to read to you from 1 John. Now, if you have your Bible, flip with me one more place this morning to Psalm chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. Psalm chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1, and we're going to work our way backward this morning. The Bible says in 1 John that there are three that bear a record in heaven, and there are also three that bear record on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the Spirit, the water, and the blood, all three agree, pronouncing that Jesus is the way to life eternal. And any man who does not have the Son does not have life. That's what they bear record of. Now watch this. Psalm chapter 13, beginning in verse number 1. This is where I believe it's going to speak to some people this morning. Psalm chapter 13, verse 1. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with my anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemies have the upper hand on me? And turn and answer me, O Lord my God, restore the light to my eyes, or I will die. That's David writing in the book of Psalms, chapter 13. And as David writes in Psalm, the 13th chapter, I believe that he identifies with a lot of you and even myself this morning, where David, who is the psalmist, the man who is after God's own heart, he writes in the verses, he says, God, my God, where are you? Where are you in my condition? Where are you in my circumstance? Everywhere I turn in my life, I feel like I'm far from you. Oh God, won't you hear me? God, where have you gone? And as we read Psalm 13, we see David, the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, finding himself feeling separated and distant from the voice of God in his life. I believe if we were to rewind thousands of years ago, we would look into King David's life and we would see a man who knew how much God had loved him, but he felt very far and distant from him. And there might be some of you in this place today, and you are exactly in the same place David was when he wrote Psalm 13. You know a lot about God. You know that he loves you. You know that he has a plan for your life. But deep inside of your soul, you feel far from him. You feel like it's been forever since you've heard God in your ears. You feel like you couldn't be any further away from him. And you wonder, has God forgotten me? Has God overlooked me? You might be in this room today and maybe your marriage is on the rocks and you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know who's going to come or who's going to go in your life. And because of that circumstance and situation, you wonder if God has forgotten you. You wonder if God has overlooked you. Maybe you're just fresh getting into your career and you're just getting started. You're just out of college. You're just getting started and things aren't going the way you thought they should go. Your plans are falling apart all around you and your circumstances are causing your emotions to tell you that God has forgotten you. The reality of it all is our circumstances and our conditions have the power to convince us that God is far away. But the water and the blood eternally bear witness and record that no matter how far you might feel from him, you're one whisper away. The blood and the water bear witness throughout all of eternity that no matter how far you've run, he's closer than you ever first believed. The water and the blood, and we're going to look at this in just a few minutes, declare to you and I the resounding faithfulness of God in spite of what our emotions and in spite of what our circumstances might tell us. And this morning, I believe that there's some people in this house today who you walked in and your circumstances told you that God has forgotten you. God has moved on. You've made him mad. He's disapproving of your life. And many of you, because of your circumstances, feel like you're a million miles away from him. But I believe that through the power of his word today, you're going to leave knowing that the water and the blood tell you a different story, that he is with you. He is faithful to the end, and he will never leave you or forsake you. Some of you might feel forgotten and abandoned, feel like you're defeated in your life, and you wonder if God will even keep the promises that he's made to you in your life. This morning, I want to tell you, the water and the blood bear the witness. Now watch this. Flip with me to John chapter 19, verse 31. Look at the person to your left and tell them, it's about to get real. Don't be shy now. Now, if you don't have anybody on your left, turn to your right. Tell them it's about to get real. Anybody know the word of God is alive today? Anybody know that it's alive? All right, watch this. We're talking about the water and the blood speak louder than your circumstance. The water and the blood speak louder than your condition. The water and the blood speak louder than the doctor's report. The water and the blood speak louder than your spouse walking out on you. The water and the blood speak louder than your boss telling you that your job is on the line. The water and the blood tell you a different story. They tell of a covenant that God has made with you. And it is absolutely incredible. Watch this. John chapter 19, beginning in verse number 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers to break the legs of the first and the other, which was crucified with him. Verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Verse 35, and he saw it bear record, and this record is true, and he knoweth that he saith is true, that you might believe. Now, watch this for a minute. this is rewinding 2,000 years ago to Golgotha, Calvary's cross. And as Jesus hangs on the cross, extended between heaven and earth, he has two criminals on either side of him. And as the Pharisees look out at the crucifixion scene, they begin to get troubled inside of themselves. And they say, we can't leave these men hanging on this cross because the Sabbath, if you study this, the Sabbath is the day of Passover, the celebration of Passover, which that is a whole nother sermon that'll preach all day and all night, and it's incredible. I'm not gonna go there with you this morning, but the high priests were like, quickly, we've gotta get them down, and they go, and they come to Jesus, and they find that he is already dead. And so the Roman guard thrusts a spear into the side of Jesus. They thrust the spear into the side of our Savior, our Messiah, our King and our friend. And as the spear pierces his side, out flows the blood and the water. And the Bible says that when the blood and the water poured from his side, that even the Romans who were crucifying him, when they saw the blood and when they saw the water, it bared witness within them that surely that was the King of glory. Surely that was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And now here's the remarkable, powerful statement of John 19. When you read this, John 19, it is symbolizing, foreshadowing the covenant and the plan and the promise of God for his people and for his church. The water is symbolic of the Spirit of God. From Genesis to Revelation, when you study the word water, it is closely linked and closely related to the Spirit of God. And obviously, we know that the blood atones for all sin. For he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. So watch this. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he's already given up the spirit, and the Roman soldier pierces his side. That water and that blood, that water that's symbolic of the Spirit, of God's Spirit, begins to flow out of the Son and onto the earth below him. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says that you and I, our flesh, our bodies, we were made from the dust of the earth. And in this moment, 2,000 years ago, Jesus is fulfilling and foreshadowing all at the same time the words of the prophet Joel when he said, in the last days, meaning in the last days of the ministry of the Messiah, his spirit would be poured out among all flesh, and their sons and daughters shall prophesy, and their young men shall see visions, and old men dream dreams. I'm telling you, in this moment, it was symbolic as the side of the Christ was pierced, as the water was flowing down. It was the sign of a covenant that he would never leave you, but he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, that his spirit would reside in side of you and upon you and empower you and lead you and guide you into all truth. And that even when your circumstances of life surround you and tell you that God has forgotten you and God has moved on and God doesn't love you anymore, let that water that poured from his side, let it remind you that his spirit was poured out for you. And no matter what your feelings might tell you, the spirit of the living God is with you now, forever, and always. Give him praise this morning. Put your hands together and thank the Lord for the beautiful word of the living God. It was symbolic that his spirit would be poured out. In the Great Commission, what did he tell the followers of Christ? He told them, and Jordan's favorite part, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. That struck a chord with the band. He is with you always. And let the water, let it remind you that he is with you. Let the water speak louder than your emotions. Let the water speak louder than your flesh. Every time you see water, let it remind you that of the covenant that Jesus made with his believers and followers, that I will be with you always, even until the ends of the age. Now, This is awesome. This is really awesome. The blood and the water, they bear witness. They speak to the truth. They remind us, in spite of what we might feel, think, or imagine, they remind us that God has a plan for us and it never changes. The water that poured from his side was not just symbolic of the Holy Spirit, but it is also symbolic of unmerited grace and favor that was spilled out from the Messiah onto all flesh. Now watch this. The reason that water not only resembles his spirit, the reason that water is symbolic of unmerited grace and favor is because of this. The days of Noah, when God flooded the earth, we look at that situation with Noah when God flooded the earth and eradicated evil from the planet. We look at that and we think, God, that was an awful thing to do. But in all actuality, the waters that covered the earth, they not only eradicated the cities that had been far from God and were foreign to his word, but the water sustained and protected and gave life to Noah to a new beginning. Water is not just symbolic of the Spirit of God, but it is symbolic of God's covenant that he will never destroy the earth and flood again, and that he will protect his people and he will provide for his people. As Jesus hung on the cross and the spear pierced his side, it was the water that was spilling forth as a covenant, saying, you are coming into a new season of grace. You are coming into a new season of favor with me. And now you will not be found right in my eyes by your obedience to the law, but now you will be found right in my eyes by your faith, receiving the grace that I have extended out to you. This morning, somebody needs to hear what I'm saying to you. You feel like you're a million miles away from God because you know that your life doesn't measure up the way that it should right now. And you feel like, what's the point in even talking to God? What's the point in even going back until I get my life right? Until I get all these areas of my life put back in order? What's the point in me even going back to him? And let the water remind you that you are in a season of grace and you do not find favor with God because you obey the letter of the law. No, you find favor with God because you believe that he is, because you have faith in the Son. And any man who would draw nigh to him, he will draw close to you. Don't let your life, don't let it distract you and keep you separate from God. The water bears witness that his love for you never changes. His spirit is always with you. And that now you are made right with God by your faith. It is a season of grace. Is this making sense to anybody? All right. Even if it's not, I'm going to keep going. We're not going to go much longer this morning. If you have your Bibles, flip with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Now we're going to talk, I'm going to talk to you about the blood that was spilled from his side. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 22 says this. No, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You have come to the assembly of the firstborn children whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge of all people. And you have come to the spirits of the redeemed who are in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood which graciously forgives instead of crying out for vengeance as the blood of Abel. Now, that's all I want to read to you from Hebrews 12. This is powerful. This is really powerful, and somebody really needs to hear what I'm about to say to you. As Jesus, his side was pierced on Calvary's tree, that water that fled from his side was a covenant saying that he will never leave you. He will always be with you. His spirit will never forsake you. It will be with you always. But the blood that poured from his side out onto the ground, out onto the dust of the earth, out onto flesh, it said this: when the blood of an innocent person is shed, the blood always cries out for vengeance. The blood always speaks louder than words. Here's what this looks like in real life. If someone innocent, if their life is taken, what happens? Their family, their friends, everyone that knows or hears about the situation rallies around for justice. And their blood that was shed cries out for justice. It cries out for vengeance. The blood of the innocent always cries out for the scales to be balanced again. But the blood of Jesus is different from the blood of Abel. And the blood that was shed for you on the cross does not cry out for vengeance against you or I. Although it was our sin that he carried, it was our burden that he took upon himself. The blood that was shed from him does not cry out for vengeance. It doesn't even cry out for justice, because it is justice. And the blood instead speaks out to favor and speaks out for redemption. And the blood that was shed cries out for mercy, not redemption or not justification. It cries for mercy. Anybody hearing what I'm saying to you this morning? When you think of the blood of Jesus, no matter how far you run, no matter how messed up your life is, let the blood remind you that God is not out for justice. He's not trying to punish you. He's not angry with you, but his blood cries for reconciliation. His blood cries to draw you in. His blood calls out for mercy and grace to forgive you and cleanse you from everything you've ever done in your past. You can give him praise this morning. The blood of Jesus bears witness in your spirit, even as you hear the word of God spoken. The blood bears record on earth that God loves you more than life itself. And God is not out for vengeance against you. He's out to have relationship, a relationship and communion with you, to know you by name. The blood always speaks louder than your circumstances. This morning, as the band comes back to help me out, I just want to encourage you today. No matter where you are in your life right now, no matter how messed up your past has been, no matter what your former reputations are, no matter how loud the voices of accusation are against you, his blood still speaks louder. His blood speaks louder than your mistakes. His blood speaks louder than your past. His blood speaks louder than your previous reputation. His blood is the only thing on earth that is powerful enough to cleanse you from every mistake, from every injustice, from every act of unrighteousness. And the water and the blood bear witness that it is all about restoring creation, washing them in the blood, former things passing away, that all things might be new again in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. There's no other God that can do it for you. Muhammad, he can't do it for you. Buddha can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. Nobody else. You can't do it for yourself. For there can be no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And there can be no freedom for sin unless the perfect sacrifice is made to balance the scales. And that's what was done 2,000 years ago, and the Son of God, Jesus, became sin that you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to show you one last thing this morning. His blood and the water, it never stops speaking. It never grows silent in your life. It always bears record and witness of the truth. This morning, I want you to receive this right here. The prophet Joel said that in the last days, his spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. That the spirit of the living God would be poured out upon all flesh. And as Jesus hung on the cross, the water and the blood, the spirit, the life, the redemption, the hope, the grace, as it poured from his life, it still speaks to you this morning, right here and right now in this place. And if you know that you're not where you need to be, if you know that things are not right between you and your Creator today, if your emotions have taken hold of your life, if fears have gripped your mind and you don't know what to believe any longer, I want to encourage you to look to the water and look to the blood and receive the grace, receive the mercy and the redemption that Jesus is extending your way. If you would stand with me this morning. Father, we worship you in this house today. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that no matter what our emotions might tell us, we know that your blood speaks louder. No matter what the world might have to offer us, no matter what our own convictions, no matter what our own minds and hearts might tell us, we know that your blood and the water, it speaks louder. It tells of grace, undeserved, favor, unmerited. Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that right now that you would convict the hearts of those who have run from you. I pray that you would touch us this morning, that this would just, it would be more than just a historical record, but it would become life, truth, and power today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this room to do the work inside of us that only you can do. We believe and trust and know that you, oh God, can do more in 1 second than we can do in a lifetime. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do the work inside of your people. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. This morning, if you're in this room and you've been touched by the word of God, you know that your spirit bears witness that God loves you, that God has a plan for you, that he's not finished with you. If your spirit bears record this morning that there is hope for you, but you know your life is running in the opposite direction, you know that it's been far from serious between you and God. You've run and done your own thing and you've never surrendered to him. This morning, if you're bold enough in this room to say, I'm not where I need to be right now, but I'm ready to come home,